Destination Freedom. The Chicago Defender and Station WMAQ bring you Destination Freedom, a new radio series dramatizing the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, interwoven in the pageant of history and a part of America's own Destination Freedom. Today, Destination Freedom tells the story of Matthew Henson, the first man to reach the North Pole, in a chapter titled Arctic Autograph.
My name is Matthew Henson. I was named after a man who helped write the gospel. All I wrote was my name. I wrote my name on the North Pole. It was the year 1906, an April day when flowers were beginning to bloom at home. I was on the Arctic ice past the northern lights, near the home of the north wind, where the storms begin and where the midnight sun rolled high on the horizon. I had marched with the expedition to a place near the roof of the world and dropped down under the snow with my sled, dogs, and rations, and slept until I thought I heard the wind calling my name.
Matthew! Hey, Matt! Where are you?
I looked out of the igloo. I saw a man with his skin cracked by the cold, a halo of fur around his face, ice under his feet, fire in his eyes. It was Commander Peary.
Matt! Come out here!
Commander Peary! What's happened? You look like the world's come to an end.
It has, Matt. We've come to that.
Well, now, Commander, it's cold, I know, but...
We've come to the end of the world, don't you see? This time, we've done it. Right now, Matt, we stand within reach of the North Pole.
You're sure?
Look on the map. Well, I've found our position. I've checked it. Here we stand. There's the North Pole, 50 miles from us. One strong march and we'll reach it.
It's hard to believe.
After 23 years, I know. We've seen it snatched from us again and again. This time, we'll stake everything. We'll strip down to two teams. We'll take just enough rations to carry us.
Two teams?
You'll drive one, I'll drive the other one. Just as we've always done.
I understand.
It's up to us now. We've tried four times. This is the last try. We're not as young as we were 20 years ago, Matt.
When do we leave?
When the wind goes down. Take two of the Eskimos with you, Asa and Siglo. Two will come with me.
Is that all?
This time, there's no turning back until we find the pole. It's the last undiscovered region of the world. They say it's suicide, sure death, to try to get there. This is my last try, Matt. I'm never going back until I found it.
Well, I'm with you. You know that.
Yes, I know it. Go on, fix your sleds. I'll see you off.
I remember the cold wind cut through my clothes, but I was warm inside. I stood behind the dogs and sled and gripped my whip. The ice stretched out like a white desert ahead of me. Commander Peary stood by me and said,
"Look ahead, Matt. Don't look back on the old years. Go on. Make this the beginning."
I remember. The snow was like fine dust. It gagged and choked me so I couldn't speak. I swung the whip high over the dogs.
"March on!"
I remember not looking back at the man behind me as the sled shot over the rough ice and took me north, always north. I remember feeling alone in a world no man had seen before and wondering what brought me there. And I began to look back for a beginning. I looked back in my life for the beginning of the urge that drove me on. Was it in my last trip, when I had come close to death 2 years ago, when I came sledding over the ice with Asa the Eskimo, straining to reach the pole? That was 2 years ago, and 200 miles farther south.
Mash!
Ice was groaning and cracking under the sled. All I saw was one goal, one aim, and I went on until the Eskimo cut in behind me and yelled to the dog.
Hook! Hook! Hold up! What are you doing?
Kokoya say stop. This is as far as we can go.
Asa, this is 200 miles from where we're going. Out of my way. Commander Peary is behind us. We've got to open a trail.
Kokoya warns us. Go no further. Kokoya guards the north. You closer than any man has come. He shakes the ice.
He was trembling as if Kokoya, the god of the ice, did watch us. And I thought of lost years fighting to come this close to the pole. And I pushed him aside and struck out at the dogs.
Mine!
No! Kokoya watching! Stop!
I shook him off and
come
pushed
back,
the sled
Matthew.
On. It
Good
leaped over a rough patch of ice and slid on its back. And before I could straighten it, there was a sound like thunder. The ice split. Dogs and rations and sled dropped through a gap in the ice. I was sinking, grabbing for a piece of solid ice when I felt myself lifted up and out of the water. Asa had pulled me out. Sled and dogs were gone. A crack as wide as a river kept us from the other side. Still, I was anxious to go ahead. I felt as if this was my last chance. When Asa spoke...
I told you, Kokoya say, go no further.
When I get another sled and dogs, we're going on. When the commander comes...
The Kabluna coming now. Kokoya tell him same thing.
Commander Peary came up with his team, and he was restless too. We tried to go over young ice, freezing over the gap, but it was weak, and we waited until the thunder came again. The ice behind us had split. We were locked on a raft of ice. There was no going forward, no going back. Asa said...
You see, it's useless. Kokoya will hold us here until you say you go back. Tell him you go back.
Commander Peary looked beaten, cold, and he said...
Tell your god we'll wait until the ice freezes over. Then go on.
It seemed ages before we were freed from the ice. We were beaten and went home. But time had seemed even longer, many years before that, when we were lost in the north of Greenland. We stumbled behind the sleds, cold, hungry, the dogs too weak to pull us. I wondered what kept us going.
Hold up, Matt. Don't stumble. Keep your eyes open for something alive, something we can eat.
There's no use going on. The further we go, the weaker we get.
Stand still, and in an hour the snow will bury you. Keep moving. Look! Get the gun.
Gun? What?
Over there, on your left. See him coming?
Yes.
A polar bear. We're saved.
He was right. Coming toward us was a bear, enough to feed us and the dogs for a week. I reached for the gun.
Try to hold it steady, Matt. The wind's with us. He can't tell me here. He's walking by. We've got to hit him.
Shall I shoot?
Wait. He's coming on. Wait. Now, lift the gun. Go on. I'm holding your arm.
I had the gun aimed. We held it together. It shook and trembled as the bear came by. Peary whispered,
Pull the trigger, Matt. Pull the trigger. Hold the gun up.
We tried to steady the sight. I squeezed the trigger. We missed. The bear lumbered out of sight.
You missed the last chance we had. You missed.
If you hadn't jerked my arm, I would have hit him.
You were aiming too high.
You jerked the gun down. You shouldn't have grabbed
me. I did what I could. Take your hands off me.
Take yours off me.
We stood there in the cold. Two lost men clutching at each other. Hunger biting us, gnawing at our nerves. We stood fighting until we heard the dogs growl. We dropped our grip. The dogs had come close to us, waiting, watching, waiting for us to fight.
They're hungrier than we are. They're waiting for us to...
Yes. Wouldn't it be better if
we ate them instead of fighting and letting them eat us, it would.
I gathered my strength and went to my pack and took out a hatchet. When I had finished, I looked up and saw the worried face of Peary. I snapped at him. You wonder if you can stomach the dogs?
No, no. I was wondering what we'll eat after the last dog is gone.
Fortunately, we never had to find an answer. We were the lost who had found our way out of the snow. But I knew it was not this that pushed me on. So I searched further back, back to many years before the time of hunger. And I remembered the expedition to the tip of Greenland. We were new to the snow. We were with an old explorer, Peavy. He had gone ahead and reached the cliff. We thought we had discovered the North Pole. We heard him call us.
Look at this!
What is it?
Look!
What do you see, man? What is it?
What have you found, Peavy? What is it?
I found the fools.
What are you talking about?
We've been fighting through this snow for 2 years. 2 years searching for the North Pole. And look. Look down there.
We looked down and saw that the Greenland, the map makers believed, ended at the North Pole, actually stopped 500 miles from it. Down there was a giant ocean of ice, a white sea stretching out into space. Peary was satisfied.
At last we know.
Know what? Know we've wasted our lives getting nowhere?
We know now that the only way to reach the North Pole is over that ocean of ice. No one knew that before.
No man will live to reach it.
We'll reach it, Peavy.
You'll reach it without me. Ocean ice will split and crack when the tide changes. This one's hundreds of miles wide and treacherous all the way. You'd be exposed to winds and storms and snow. Oh, I've given all I had to get this far. I'm going back.
We'll all go back. But I'll come again.
But why? Haven't you been beaten enough? Why do you keep coming back? What's out there?
Something I want. I'll get it. Will you come with me, Matt?
Well, I've got to come back.
You? Why? Why, Matt?
I don't know. There's something about the Arctic that pulls me back to it. The ice is in my veins, I guess. I don't really remember how it got there. But I'll come back until I find out. I'll come back. I remember the way the wind blew that day on top of the cliff, 500 miles behind the North Pole. Even then, I wondered what drove me to spend the seasons working at odd jobs at home while the expedition ships were in dock. And I wondered if it was the laughter of a woman years before the trip with Peavy that had pushed me on. The North Pole then was but a fantasy to everyone. When I quit a job in a tavern to make my second trip.
Yeah? What you knocking for, Matt? Why, you're all dressed up like you're leaving the job.
I am, Bertha. As I told you and the boss this morning, I'm going.
You ain't serious. You mean you're really going to that North Pole?
Yeah. That's so funny.
It's enough to kill me dead. Wait till I tell the boss. Hey, Joe. Joe, come up here. Matt quitting again.
What's that, Bertha?
Matt is going up to the North Pole with whatchamacallit.
With that old weather-beaten fanatic, Peary? The guy you read about in the paper?
That's the guy.
You don't mean it. I ain't no future in that ice. You got a future here, boy.
Sorry, but the ship leaves tonight.
Now, look, Matt. Somebody's giving you a bum steer on this North Pole racket. Every jackleg navigator and his brother's planning to discover the North Pole. It's the rage. Let it cool off. Don't be a sucker. Nature's against you.
Nature?
Yeah, you ain't fitted for real cold weather. Ain't no Negro can stand the Arctic. That's the scientific fact.
That's superstition.
Now look, I know my science.
I know myself. I'll be going.
Now, wait, Matt. Bertha here's right. You got a good job here. stay where it's warm. That Peary's crazy. Everybody knows it. Why, I was just reading the other day, but... Hey, Matt! Matt!
He ain't listening, Joe. He's just walking off. He must be walking off again to the North Pole to see Santa Claus!
Yes, I remember the laughing. But it was not then that the urge began. It was even before that morning when, as a young man, I clerked in a haberdasher's shop. I was checking my stock, not noticing that a customer had come up behind me till I turned. He was looking at me in an odd way. He was Lieutenant Peary.
Can I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like a hat.
Uh-huh. Something for hot weather. Panama?
No, I'd like something for cold weather. I'm leaving town.
Oh, cold. All right. I'll see what we have. Now, here's a heavy felt.
Mm-hmm. Felt. I'm afraid won't do. Anything else?
Here's a good wool that just come in.
No, that's not warm enough either.
Oh. Well, do you mind telling me just how cold you expect it to get?
About 45, I suppose.
45?
45 below. I'm going to the North Pole.
Oh, north, I see. Well, I guess I can't help you much.
Well, thanks anyway.
It's all right. Mister.
Yes?
This North Pole you're going to, would you mind telling me if anything else will help you besides a fur cap?
Well, I need a good sailor.
Well, I've sailed.
A navigator?
I know the compass.
I need someone who's got a reason of his own for devoting his life to discovering the North Pole.
I've got that reason.
Then come to my ship tomorrow. Bring your reason with you.
I remember going and talking to the determined man the next day and on other days. We sat in a room of maps. His eyes would light up whenever he looked at the pole. And he would say...
For 300 years, explorers have tried to unlock the Arctic. All the world's explored except that. I'll tell you my reason for fighting to be the first to open it. You tell me yours.
Go on.
I'm not saying I'm acting only because of love for science. I want to add to the knowledge in the world. It's true, but since I was a child, since I heard of Columbus, I've wanted to do something to equal his discovery. The only thing that's left is to find a spot on the earth where there's no longitude, no latitude, no east, no west, where you stand directly under the North Star. That's the North Pole. I'm an engineer, but without a man like you who's got the skill and strength to survive the winters and break open the trails, I may never make it. I can't pay you for your help. There'll be dangers, hunger maybe, but there's no money in explorations.
What good will money do me at the North Pole?
You seem to feel the same as I do about it. How long have you wanted to reach the pole?
It's been a long time. Long, long time. I'll tell you about it.
And then I remembered the origin of the urge that had driven me on. It came 30 years before I'd ever seen a piece of ice. It began on a warm day on a farm in Maryland. I was a boy of 11. I was planting seeds while my father plowed and my mother talked to him.
Saul, listen to me. They said they'd come back after you. Don't you hear me?
I hear you, Sarah. And I've said no one is running me off my own land.
But, Saul, there's nothing you can do.
Hush, Sarah. Matthew is listening. Don't upset him. Get up there, Mule. Get up there. You keeping up, Matthew?
I'm trying to, Paul. I'm trying to.
That's it. Drop the seeds in. You're going to be the best farmer in the South when you grow up. Ain't you, Matthew?
Yeah, Paul. I'm going to be a farmer.
You'll be no such thing. You were named after your Uncle Matthew, and you're going to preach the gospel like Uncle Matthew.
Yes, ma'am, Ma. I'm going to preach the gospel.
You're teaching the boy wrong, Sarah. We need men to farm the land, not preach.
There won't be any land to farm, Saul. They're coming back. They said they would.
Some people run from them. Some stand their ground and fight. I'm not running.
You can't fight them with your bare fists, Saul. Every Negro farmer in this part of the country's gone. You're alone.
Gone? Gone where, Ma?
Gone north.
What's up north, Ma?
Freedom.
What's freedom?
Matt, keep quiet and plant the seeds. Now, Sarah, for the last time, I'm not leaving. Because there ain't no place for me to leave to.
Oh, Saul.
Oh, can't you see? Everything I've got's planted in this ground. No Ku Klux Klans or any kind of Klans pushing me off.
What's a Ku Klux Klan?
Men who hide their faces behind sheets and do in a mob what they wouldn't dare to do alone.
Saul, look.
I'm looking. I see them.
Saul, run toward the house. They're the same men. They've got guns now.
No, you go to the house. No matter what happens, remember, the land is yours. You got the deeds to it. Now go on and take Matthew.
Oh, Paul, I want to stay here.
Go on with your mother, boy. Go on now. Don't look back. Go on.
Come on, Matthew. Run.
I remember this was the beginning. I remember the urge to look back as I ran with my mother towards the house. And I remember the shot.
Saul.
I remember stopping, looking around and seeing nothing but a wet cloud in front of my eyes. Then came the days and nights when I was walking with my mother. I remember asking her,
where are we going, Ma? Where are we going?
North.
What for? How far north?
We're going to be free if we have to get to the North Pole for it. Come on, stay close to me so you don't get lost.
I came on, but through the crowds on the roads, there came a night when I was lost. I kept walking until my shoes were gone, till I came to a strange city and to a harbor where ships were docked. I went aboard one and knocked on the cabin door.
Oh, the devil's out there this time of night. Huh? You lad. What the dickens you looking for?
A job.
A job? You're on a real ship, not a toy one, lad. Huh? I've no time to play.
I didn't come to play. I want to work.
Oh, what kind of work can you do?
Well, I could...
Look at you. Your skinny's a rail. You'll be kidnapped by the first wind that blows hard. And you're too young even to be a cabin boy. Oh, be off now.
Please let me stay.
Be off, or I'll be spanking you.
Yes, sir. I'll go.
Oh, wait a while now. Come here, lad. Come here, come here. Let me look at you.
Yes, sir.
Where's your mother and father?
I don't know.
Well, where's your blasted relatives?
I ain't got none.
Come inside. Catch cold out there and you'll be blaming me for it. Oh, sit up there in my bunk. Jump up!
Up here? Like this?
Huh? See here, lad. It's no picnic I'm giving you. You'll pay your way. Nobody's ever got a thing from Captain Childs free and you'll not break my record.
Yes, sir.
Now then, you ain't strong enough to do real work. But you can lift a pencil, I figure. You can keep the dates in my logs. Here, I'll show you. Look now. Read these numbers. Well, don't sit there with your mouth open. Read aloud.
But I can't read.
You can't read? Well, then I reckon you can't write either.
No. I guess I ain't much good.
Oh, no, lad. Here now. I'll have no blubbering on my boat now. Hold up your head, eh? I ain't nothing to reading and writing that Captain Giles can't teach you. Besides some navigation, a mechanic's tailoring, cooking, sailing. It's easy, lad.
Yeah?
Sure it is. Look now. We'll start you off right now and prove it. What would you like to write most?
My name.
And just what's your bloomin' name?
Matthew Hansen.
A good seafaring name. Like Matthew in the Bible.
I reckon so.
Good. Now I'll show you how writing's done. Get a grip on this chalk, eh?
Like this?
Eh? Hold on, now I'll take hold of your fist and guide your hand over the board here and we'll write. M-A-T-T-H-E-W. Matthew. H-E-N-S-O-N. Henson. Now, how's that, laddie?
Oh, is that how my name looks?
Well, more or less. Look a whole lot better when you get the hang of it. Now, we'll just rub it out and start off again.
Don't rub it out.
You don't want it to stay on forever, do you?
I do want it to stay on forever. How do you make it stay on?
Well, you got to sort of do something that makes it stay. Like inventing something or discovering something so people will know it's yours. Then it'll stay on.
Is that the only way?
The only way. What do you intend to be anyhow, laddie?
A farmer for my pa, and I'm going to preach the gospel for my mother.
Well, with that ambition, you better get started learning a little reading and writing on your first trip out.
Out? Where are we going?
You're on a whaling ship, laddie. We go north.
How far?
Well, almost north of the north wind.
What's north of the north wind?
What? The North Pole, I suppose. But don't bother your head, lad. We'll not get that far. No man gets that far. We just travel as far north as we can go.
As far north as we can go. North.
That was the beginning. That was the urge that pushed me on in the face of winds and snow, year after year, slashing at dogs, driving the sleds through storms, while under me the ocean of ice rolled and cracked with the tides. That was the urge that brought me at last to a region where I stopped, took out my instruments, and checked my position. The midnight sun stood on the horizon, never setting, never rising. I had lost all longitude and latitude. I had lost all east and all west. I was north of the north wind. I was standing on the axis of the earth. I was at the North Pole. And I thought of my beginning, of the captain who taught me to write. And I took out my knife and etched my name on the ice. And then I took the hands of the Eskimos who'd come with me and spelled out their names. When Commander Peary came, we planted an American flag. And we men of three races of the world, Mongol, Negro, Caucasian, stood together on the roof of the earth. We had unlocked the Arctic. I remember the medals and the words I heard years later.
For outstanding service to the government of the United States in the field of science, for contributing materially to the success of the expedition in the discovery of the North Pole, the Congress of the United States awards this medal to you, Matthew Henson.
Yes, my name is Matthew Henson. I was named after a man who helped write the gospel. All I wrote was my name. I wrote my name on the North Pole.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of the story of Matthew Henson and Commander Robert E. Peary, first men to reach the North Pole. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Homer Heck. Matthew Henson was played by Fred Pinkert and Commander Peary by Morris Copeland. Others were Janice Kingslow, Louise Pruitt, Oscar Brown Jr., Harris Gaines, Jonathan Hole, Charles Mountain, Arthur Peterson, and Stuart Sklam. Greg Pascal was the singer. The special music was written by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Elwin Owen and Bobby Christian. This is Hugh Downs inviting you to be with us again next week for another in our series on the Negro in Democracy, Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.